Shalom, and welcome to Via Havta Yisrael, a Hebrew phrase which means, you shall love Israel. We hope you'll stay with us for the next 30 minutes as our teacher, Dr. Baruch, shares his expository teaching from the Bible. Dr. Baruch is the senior lecturer at the Zera Avraham Institute based in Israel. Although all courses are taught in Hebrew at the Institute, Dr. Baruch is pleased to share this weekly address in English. To find out more about our work in Israel, please visit us on the web at loveisrael.org. That's one word, loveisrael.org. Now, here's Baruch with today's lesson.
The Bible says, as much as depends upon you, be at peace with all people. In a similar way, the Word of God says that He's given to each of us, each believer, a ministry of reconciliation. So we should strive, we should work, we should desire that we are reconciled with all people. But there are individuals, there are situations when it's better to part. Now that doesn't mean that you have to have ill feelings towards that person. You can forgive them. You can be reconciled to them in the sense that you can be in their presence and speak with them. But it doesn't mean that it's always God's will that you be together. And sometimes it's better to depart. And that's exactly what we're seeing in the life of Yaakov, that is Jacob, in this relationship with his father-in-law, wicked and deceitful Laban. Take out your Bible and look with me to the book of Genesis and chapter 31. The book of Genesis, chapter 31. Now, in one sense, God has already put it into the heart of Jacob to leave. We know in the scripture, going back to chapter 28, when Jacob departed from the land of Canaan, he did so for two reasons. One is to preserve his life. His mother and then his father told him to leave and go to his mother's family in Haran, in order to take a wife from there and not from the daughters of Canaan. Secondly, we see something else. When Jacob was going, he had that dream at Bet-El. We'll talk about that briefly in this section. And we know something. He made a covenant with God. God, if you bring me back, and there's a key. He knew God had already put it on his heart that his place was not in exile, in Galut, outside of Israel, but rather for the promises, for the call, that birthright that he had acquired, that blessing, he had to come back to the land. So he says, God, if you bring me back to the land, I will testify of that in tithing, that is giving you a tenth part of all that I have. So in the text, we should have always anticipated Yaakov coming back to the land of Israel. And last week we see that God had reaffirmed that. He had placed it again upon Jacob's heart. But Laban, always trying to change the things of God, delay the will of God. Why? Well, if you don't see an urgency to the things of God and you delay, that creates an opportunity for the enemy to come in and to steal away that opportunity. So Laban said, continue to work for me and you name your wages and I'll give it to you. But we know he never intended to do that. He was a deceiver. We saw one verse that showed that he took away the sheep that rightly should have belonged to Jacob. And what else did he do? Well, we'll see that tonight. Once again, chapter 31. And look with me to verse 1. Genesis 31 and verse 31. Or verse 1. It says here, and he heard, who's he? Jacob. And Jacob heard the words of the sons of Laban saying. Now, what did these sons say? Jacob took all which is to our father. And from that which is to our father, meaning what belonged to him, he made, once again, that's Jacob, he made all of this honor. Now, your Bible may say wealth, but it's the word kavod, honor. And why is that word there? Well, because Lavan, he likes honor. And he associates wealth and honor in that same way. So did his sons. But that's not biblically true. So they looked at this differently. They saw that their money, their wealth had gone down, was depleted. And they took that personally, like it attacked their honor. Here's the problem. What they're not seeing is this. It was humbling, and that's one of the interpretations of the sages, that God humbled Lavan. He did attack his self-honor because it was based in the wrong thing. It was based upon the material and not the spiritual. So this should have been a call to repentance. Why? Because Lavan should have seen God's hand against him. See, we need to be spiritually sensitive. There are times when God aren't blessing us. Why isn't he blessing us? Because we're not blessable. We're not behaving. We're not doing. We're not thinking in the right way. And therefore, those signs of judgment, what the scriptures calls a klala, a curse, is a form of discipline. It should cause us to repent and turn back to the truth. So look again. They say, Jacob made all of this glory of his with what rightly belonged to us. Look now to verse 2. And Jacob saw that the face of Lavan, and behold, he looked at that face, and behold, it was not with him. It wasn't the same thing to him as it was yesterday or 3 days ago or the day before. So there had been a change in the relationship. And look at verse 3. Now, here at most people, we just read over and we miss out on what the text is telling us. It says, Ve'yomer Hashem el Yaakov, and the Lord said to Jacob. Well, how does he say something? Usually in prayer. This did not come in a vision. God spoke to him. It was an answer to prayer. And what is the takeaway here? What should we glean from that? Well, Jacob saw that the situation was different. That Lavan was different towards him. His demeanor. His attitude. How he looked at him. And what did Jacob do? He prayed about the situation. That's what the text is subtly telling us. And therefore God said to Jacob, return to the land of your fathers. The term father in Hebrew, avot, should always be associated with two things. Hopefully now you already know that. One is promise and the other's faith. How do they go together? Faithfulness is when we pursue the promises of God. And what is at foundational truth in this? Well, the foundational truth is the land of Israel. There's connection to faithfulness, the promises of God, and the land of Israel. So God tells Jacob, return to the land of your forefathers and to your birthplace. And what's the promise? Ve'ehye imach, I will be with you. Now, that motivated Jacob. The implication is this. If you disobey and you do not go back to land, I won't be with you. But if you obey and return to the land, meaning you pursue your call, you do my will, you pursue the promises that I have for you, then I'm going to be with you. So what motivated him? Being with God. So let me ask you, what are the motivations of your life? What gets your attention? What causes you to behave differently, perhaps, than what you would think that you would do? How you normally would behave? And I hope the answer to that is intimacy with God. That's what you're pursuing. That is the greatest fulfillment of the promises of God for us to be with him and him with us. Look now to verse 4. And Jacob sent, and he called to Rachel and to Leah. The order is important. It shows Rachel is the wife of choice. It might also show a preference because of her spiritual commitment. And why do I say that? Well, later on, towards the end of our study this evening, we'll see the reason for my statement. Look again at verse 4. And Jacob sent and he called to Rachel and to Leah that were in the field to the flock. And he said to them, I see that the face of your father is not to me like it was yesterday and the day before, but God was with me. So what he says here is this: even though Laban was different towards me for a period of time previously, from now and before, God was with me in this. Now, it's significant because there's the third person past. Haya, God was with me. Now, that doesn't mean that he's not going to be with him. We just saw that God is. But the emphasis is on the change in the perfect tense, or we would call in simple English, the past tense. And what is he referring to? Well, the emphasis is on this verb, showing God's faithfulness to him in a previous, a very, very recent obstacle that Jacob had, that God was with him and caused him to be victorious. Look now to verse 6. I know that with all my power, I served your father. So he's speaking, he says, I want that you, and you is plural. But when you look at this text, it's very interesting. Ve'etena yadati. Normally, we would see the verb before the direct object. But here, this is not the case. There's a flipping. And that abnormal order should cause to grasp our attention, should cause us to see significance. So what it literally says is, you, plural and feminine, referring to Rachel and Leah. He says, I know you, I want you to know that with all my power, I served your father. And your father mocked me. And here's the revelation. We may not have picked up on it last week in our study. But God was moving, God was speaking, God was instructing Yaakov what to do. So he says, I want you to know that I'm innocent in this. I worked and served your father with all my power, with all my essence. But, keep reading, but your father, Hetel B, he deceived or mocked me. That's what his attempt was. In changing my wages, aseret monim. Now, this is literally 10 times, but because the word monim is plural, it's tens of 10 times, or I believe most Bibles will say 100 times. So either 10 times or 100 times, depending upon how we should interpret that aseret monim. Even if it's 10, it's significant. And God, though, did not allow him to do evil with me. And this is the point. God was faithful. That's what he's referring to. He says, and I want to emphasize this. He says, God was faithful to me because he saw that I served sincerely with all my ability, with all my power. Your father, I want you to know this. I am not to blame in this broken relationship, in this problem that he has with me. He was judged by God. How so? Well, this is what the text is going to reveal to us. Look again, verse 7. And your father mocked me by changing my wages 10 or 100 times, and God did not allow him to do evil, meaning be successful to me, against me. Thus, he says, if Laban, this is their father, would say, your wages will be the polka dotted, then gave birth all the flock polka dotted once. And if thus, he said, the striped or ringed ones will be your wages, then gave birth all the flock, these striped or ringed ones. And God took away his cattle, the cattle of your father, and gave it to me. Who did? God did. Why? Well, here's a takeaway for us. God does not bless dishonesty. When someone acts deceitfully, when someone acts out of integrity, they will not prosper. Well, you say people do that all the time. That's true when? In the short term. Only in the short term. But in the end, they will suffer loss. Now, the question is, do you believe that? I believe that with all my heart. God will not make one prosperous. And here again, what do I mean by prosperous? Not necessarily talking about a bank account, but we need to realize something. Sometimes God blesses financially. Sometimes God looks at obedience in a person's life, good stewardship in a person's life. And because they've been faithful with a little, God gives them more. And I've seen people, I know people, that they just keep giving to God and they just keep getting more. But that's not a 100% proof. Sometimes I know of others who have been extremely faithful in financial stewardship. And that does not mean that they're not going to have financial problems. But when I speak about prosperity, this is what is 100% true all the time. You are faithful, you will be prosperous. What do I mean prosperous? In the things of God. You will move on the will of God, and you will arrive where God wants you to be, and you will accomplish what God wants you to accomplish. That's prosperity. I know an individual that he was exceedingly wealthy, and it was because of his faithfulness that he was chosen by God, and he lost everything. I'm speaking about Eov or Job. Job was faithful. Now, he had to learn a theological truth, but he was a faithful man, and he lost everything. But God brought about restoration. So that's why I say a faithful person at times, they may lose, but God is a God of restoration. God will restore what those locusts, that enemy, tries to take away. In Jacob's case, Laban was not successful at all. And it wasn't so much for Jacob's purpose, it was a call to Laban to repent, to stop behaving this way. So look at it again. The text is this. Whatever Laban said, this is going to be your salary. God caused all those that were born of the flock to be that way. So in essence, Laban didn't get what? He didn't get any of the new birth, that new litter, we might say. It all went to Jacob. And so his began to die out, and all the ones belonged to Jacob. So that's why it says, look again at verse 8. If he would say, the polka-dotted ones will be your wages, then birth all the flock polka-dotted ones. And if he should say that the striped ones will be your flock, then gave birth all the flock to striped ones. And God took away the cattle of your father and gave it to me. And it came about in the time of the mating of the flock, I lifted up my eyes. Now this is a term of prayer. And I saw in a dream, behold, that the he-goats that were going up upon the flock, what did they produce? Well, it says striped ones and polka dot ones, and we could say ones that were patched or such. And God said to me through an angel of God in a dream, Yaakov, and I said, here am I. Now, that's an important statement. Why? That's what the patriarchs say to God. Behold, here am I. And that term, hineni, is always seen as a statement of availability to the things of God. So in this scripture, God is moving to get, no matter what Laban says, we find that God moves that Jacob would receive them. And he received that truth in a dream. And he says, look at the text. He says, for I have seen all which Laban has done to you. God looks out. And at the right time, not necessarily what we think is the right time, sometimes not immediately, in this case it was, but not always, God moved to bring about restoration. He says here, I have seen, I'm aware of what all that Laban has done to you. Verse 13. God is still speaking. He says, I am the God of Bethel, meaning who you met at Bethel, where you anointed there this pillar, this rock that he put up, that he stood up as a testimony. When you made a vow to me there, and now rise up, return from this land, and return to the land of your birthplace. So God remembers what? A covenantal agreement that Jacob made. When he took up that rock, that special rock that was underneath his head, that rock that we talked about that gave him revelation, that he realized that this was a holy place, that this was the house of God. That's why it's called Bethel, the house of God. And he remembered what Jacob said. If you bring, I've got to leave. My parents are telling me to go and take a wife. And journeying was dangerous. I mean, traveling, you stayed out on the road. There wasn't always a lodge to stay in, as we saw at Bethel. It was dangerous. And Jacob says, if you take me out and bring me back, all that I have, I give you a tenth part. And God is saying here, I'm going to keep that covenantal agreement. It's time to go home. It's time to move in your calling, to move this process along of me building up my kingdom through the children of Israel. Well, let's continue on. Look now to verse 14. And Rachel and Leah answered and said to him, remember, he sent word while they were in the flock to come. And notice what they said. They answered, Rachel and Leah answered and said to him, do we still have any portion and inheritance in the house of our fathers? So what it says here is this. They have totally cut ties with their father's house. Their father's house is a house of deceit. It is a house that we're going to see in a moment of idolatry. Now, I mentioned that one of the things that stands out about this house is this. This family knew the name of God. But Laban, he was an idol worshiper. Their home, the family knew better, but he fell back into it. And therefore, that's going to become important in a moment. So Rachel and Leah speak, we don't have any longer any portion or any inheritance in the house of our father. Surely, look at verse 15, surely we are as foreign women considered by him. So because now they belong to Yaakov in a covenant, and that covenant speaks about the purposes of God, here's what they're saying. Our father is not committed to the covenant. Our father is not interested in the purposes of God, but we are. And because of that, we are seen as foreign to him. Now, the word here is a unique choice, because normally it means those who are of not Jewish descent, those who are Gentile, but it's a stronger word of separation. And it's used here to show how far Laban was from the calling, the purposes of the God of Israel. So certainly, they say, we will be considered by him as foreign women. For he has sold us, and he has devoured all of our finances, our food, everything that should be to us. Our dowry, everything, he's devoured. And usually this term for devouring is in a negative. It can be used as the judgment of God, or it can be used with wrong living. So once again, Laban is being portrayed here as someone who doesn't fulfill his obligations, not to his son-in-law and not even to his daughters, because he has seen that they are in this same covenantal commitment to the God of Israel. Look now to verse 16. For all of the wealth which was taken by God from our father to you and to our sons, he has given it to us, to you and to our sons. So what they're affirming is this, and this is an important statement, that God has moved and taken all the wealth of Laban, and he was indeed a wealthy man. God moved and took it away from him. And the scripture says, and let me translate this properly, lanu hu u lavaninu, which means to us, meaning Jacob, Rachel, and Leah, and uvaninu, and to our sons, God has given it. Now, what do we see here? We see a transfer of wealth. And that's what God does. He can take from one and give to another. He does so based upon principles. Principles of conduct, principles of stewardship, principles of faithfulness. And now, keep reading in verse 16. And now, all which God has said to you, do. Now, these are godly women. This defines what a wife who is pleasing to God does. She is an encouragement to her husband for one purpose, that the husband obeys the voice of God. She is not there to encourage him in his desires, his pathways, what he wants to do. We don't see these women doing that to their father. Quite the contrary. Because he is a deceitful man, they have cut this biological relationship. They have attached themselves to their husband, which is the proper thing to do. And I love this verse. Look at it again. They say, now all which God has said unto you, do. Verse 17. And Jacob got up, and he lifted up his sons and his wives. Now that word sons can also be children, upon the camels. So they're beginning their departure. And he led all of his cattle and all of his acquisitions, all of his property, which he had acquired, and the wealth of the cattle that he had acquired. It says, which he acquired in Padan Aram. So he leaves with his wives, with his children, and all the wealth and material things that he had acquired while he was in Padan Aram. Now, what is the text wanting to tell us? Well, Padan Aram is a wicked place. But that family, they knew God. Laban didn't live this, but the rest of the family knew of God. And Yaakov went into a difficult place. But because God was with him, he was prosperous. And that prosperity in the midst of that dangerous, difficult place shows God's providence and his presence in his life as a testimony. And notice what it says. He departed and he came to, this is his desire, to go to Yitzchak, his father, and the land of Canaan. He's going back to the inheritance of his father. And that name Yitzchak is there. About the promises of God, he's the child of promise, so says Paul in the book of Galatians. He's going back to the land of promise in order to carry out that heritage, that call, that birthright that he had acquired. Now look at verse 19. And Laban went to shear his flock. And notice something. And Rachel stole the teraphim. Now the teraphim were objects of idolatry. And therefore, we need to see something. What she did was good. It was a message to her father. And that is stop the idolatry. Stop relying upon these things. And we're going to see, and one of the problems I have is when words, which are easily known, their meaning, are translated differently without purpose. When that happens, it makes someone who does not read the original text, it takes away their opportunity to understand the message of the text. Now, there are ways about it. If you pay attention and you look at what that word is, when it says in verse 19, Va'tignov Rachel, and you look at that word, tignov, still, you're going to see it again in the next verse in regard to Jacob. But most, not all, but many translations translate it differently. We ought not. Because what is being said in the first occurrence is helped to be understood by the second occurrence. What do I mean by that? Well, let's look at this text again. Middle of verse 19. Where it says, and Rachel stole the teraphim which was to her father. These objects of idolatry. Now look at verse 20. It says in regard to Rachel, Va'tignov. With Jacob, it says Va'yignov. Just one letter difference, and we know what that is. The Tignov is third person singular in the future, or we'll say the imperfect. And here we find that the Yignov is third person singular masculine. So one is feminine, one is masculine, because one is Rachel, the other one is Yaakov. But it's the same word, lignov, to steal. Now, someone will say, you know, stealing is wrong. Stealing is wrong. Always, always. But there are exceptions. You said always, there are exceptions. We need to say always, but nevertheless, there are divine exceptions. What Rachel did was not to steal in the normal sense. In order to take something you have that I want, and therefore I take it for myself. No, she was doing something. She took away, without permission, these evil things. She was trying to bless. She was sending a message to her father. Cut it out. This is why you have been defeated, because of the gods who you serve, these pagan forms of idolatry. Look at verse 20. And Jacob stole the heart of Laban the Aramee. Now, what did Jacob take? The heart. Why? Because he took the daughters. In one sense, Laban loved Rachel and Leah. But because of his idolatry, this is why he lost everything, including them. So look at the text. Jacob stole the heart of Laban, the Aramee. And it says, without telling him, for he fled away. And he fled with his grandchildren and his daughters. And he fled, that and all that was with him. And he rose up, and notice what it says, and he crossed over the river, and he set his face towards Har HaGilead, the mountain of Gilead. So Jacob left, he crossed over the border, and he was going towards this mountain, Har HaGilead, the Mount of Gilead, which is in modern times Jordan. Close to the Jordan River, he crossed a different river. And we find that he was what? He was near entering into the land of Israel. Look now to verse 22. And it was told to Laban on the third day, for Yaakov has fled away, he has left. And he took, that is Laban, he took his brethren with him. And he pursued after him, that is after Jacob, for 7 days, a journey of 7 days. And he clung with him, meaning he caught up to him on the mountain of Gilead. Notice something here. And God came, always the faithfulness. Now, in the flesh, Levan is stronger. He, in 7 days, made up a 3-day deficit. He did it not because God was blessing, but because he was powerful in the flesh. But God overcomes the flesh. He defeats those who are mighty in the physical. What does the text say? Look again. Verse 24. And God came to Levan, the Aramee, in a dream at night. And he said to him, guard yourself. Now this is a warning. Guard yourself, lest you speak with Jacob either good or bad. Now, why is that phrase there? Don't speak to him either something good or bad. And that's surprising. You would think I would say, don't speak evil, but if you're willing to speak good, go ahead. Here's the problem. Levan, in his spiritual condition, he can't discern right from left, good from bad. That's the point. So when someone is not spiritually sound, he doesn't know what is right and what is wrong. And therefore, God tells Levan a warning, watch out, guard yourself, don't speak anything to Jacob. Verse 25. And Levan overcame Jacob, for Jacob was pitching his tent in the mountain, and Levan pitched his tent with his brethren in the Mount of Gilead. What happens is this, they have come together. And what's going to be the outcome of this meeting? What is going to take place? How is God's purposes going to be revealed? How is Yaakov and Levan going to respond to this coming to the same location? Well, that's what we're going to talk about next week when we continue into the second half of Genesis 31. Until that time, may God richly bless you. Shalom from Israel.
Well, we hope you will benefit from today's message and share it with others. Please plan to join us each week at this time and on this channel for our broadcast of loveisrael.org. Again, to find out more about us, please visit our website, loveisrael.org. There you will find articles and numerous other lectures by Baruch. These teachings are in video form. You may download them or watch them in streaming video. Until next week, may the Lord bless you in our Messiah Yeshua, that is, Jesus, as you walk with Him. Shalom from Israel.